Are we?
We're back.
I don't know why I said it like that.
We're back. We're back for another installment of That Is Disturbing, minus the is word, because it's that's possessive apostrophe S, disturbing.
I don't know what the fuck just went on in my brain, but I was like, that's
not
going to
go on the podcast.
Why? It's pretty funny.
Sure.
Sure, it was great. How goes it? How was your week?
It was good. How about yours?
It was good. It was fine. It was another week.
I better sidle on up to the microphone. I'm like fucking all lounging back in my chair.
Yeah.
Trying to get close to the heater that's not on.
And I'm in the driver's seat today. She's in the rodeo's chair. She's riding the bull.
I was going to say I'm in the passenger seat.
I wonder if we turn this on, if we could remove the sound under it.
I don't know.
I don't really want to risk it, though.
I don't either.
So we're just going to freeze?
I guess so, because we're not going to do that whole risk it for the biscuit thing, because we might not get a biscuit. Hey, we might get fucked.
We might definitely get fucked. No sea biscuit for us. So we just took a brief pause, and I went and grabbed a jacket. I look like I was made for fall.
Made for it.
Made for it. I have some cute green jeans on and some Air Forces and like a nice cream-colored sweater now is on.
Yeah, you look very fally.
Folly, lolly, la. That's Christmas.
Welcome to Colorado. It's like 80 degrees and then it's like 40.
So. Oh, yeah. It's so freaking cold.
There's
today
no transition.
And yesterday. Yeah. I woke up yesterday and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It was freezing.
It
yesterday.
Was like 38 degrees when I woke up. I was like, freezing. What in the actual fuck is this bullshit?
Right. And the day before it was like 77.
Right.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I'm sweating and now my sweat is frozen. Now I have icicle sweat.
Okay, I feel like this report from the National Weather Service is over. And okay, you should get to your disturbing facts.
Yeah, this is a weird one.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a museum in Philadelphia. It's called the Mutter or Mutter Museum. Have you ever heard of this?
I have not.
So I'm going to read their about on their site. It says, America's finest museum of medical history. The Mutter Museum displays its beautifully preserved collections of anatomical specimens.
Creepy.
Models and medical instruments in the 19th century, quote, cabinet museum, unquote, setting. The museum helps the public understand the mysteries and beauty of the human body and to appreciate the history of diagnosis and treatment of disease.
That's cool.
It's weird. It's real fucking weird. So it was named after Dr. Mutter.
Or Mutter.
Mutter. Mutter. I don't know how you say it. Who he was trying to like reform medical education. So this is at a medical campus in Philadelphia, this museum. And it just has some crazy shit happening in it. I'm going to read you some of the displays that are happening right now. Some of the exhibits.
Okay.
There's the unseen exhibit, which a photographer, she was given free reign of like all of the exhibits and all of the things that like aren't exposed to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's on display in her exhibit.
Okay.
And then there's the soap lady.
Well, wait, what do they consist of? What's unseen? You can't just tell us it's unseen and then not tell us what's fucking unseen.
I don't know. It didn't like get into very many specifics of the unseen.
Okay.
But it said that the Mutter Museum of the College of Physicians of Philadelphia has attracted people interested in pathology, morbid anatomy, and human development since its opening in 1859.
That's cool, I guess. Well, especially like if he's trying to like bring awareness to disease and disease pathology. It's not just fucking witchcraft. Your neighbor didn't just cast a spell on you and that's why you have pneumonia.
Right. He's trying to bring awareness to things.
Yeah.
So it says the soap lady. The soap lady is given the name to a woman whose body was exhumed in Philadelphia in 1875. The specimen is unique because of a fatty substance called, I'm going to butcher the fuck out of this, adipose.
Adipose. I mean, it's adipose, but I don't know what the word that goes
adiposear.
With. Adiposear. That's where the fat like turns into like candle wax.
I guess so. It says that this formation is not common, but it forms in alkaline, warm, airless environments, such as the one that she was buried in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says the that Dr. Joseph Leedy, who is known as the father of American vertebrate paleontology, he procured the body of the soap lady after she was exhumed at the Philadelphia cemetery. He originally reported that she died in Philadelphia of yellow fever in the 1790s, but she didn't have any teeth or lack of teeth. I don't know if none is the right word. No teeth, but
she didn't have all of her teeth.
Lacking some teeth. He assumed that she died of this, right? But the first x-rays that were taken of her in 1987 revealed like all these buttons and pins in her clothing that weren't manufactured in the United States until the 1830s. So he was wrong about her year of death. So she didn't actually die in the 1790s. She died way later than that, sometime 30s or post 30s. 1830s, right? Not the 1790s.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just crazy, like the developments that they've cast. And so she's one of the exhibits at the museum. This one is weird. This one's called Our Finest Clothing Exhibit. Guess what this one's about?
Our Finest Clothing.
Guess what it is?
I don't have any idea.
Skin.
Ew. Okay, well, that makes sense, I guess, because it's about body. I was all like, oh, no, like...
It says that
Levi's.
This, Levi's. It says that this exhibit explores the biology, pathology, and cultural aspects of the skin from both a historical and contemporary angle, from the earliest tattoos, which is cool. That interested me.
Of course it did.
To the creation of the field of dermatology. And then it says that, you know, this just helps people like look at skin a different way, that every person's skin is very unique. There's the Chevalier Jackson collection. There's Harry and Carol, which this one was weird. It's of Harry Eastlack and Carol Orzel. And they lived with FOP, which is fibrodysplasia, ophysesians progressiva. I think is how you say that.
Okay.
I don't know. The only word I know in that is fibrodysplasia.
Okay.
But basically, it's where, like, their bodies, like, produce a bunch of different bones, like, where bones don't belong.
Oh, that's fucking weird.
So their skeletons are on display at this museum.
That'd be so weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to post some pictures on the gram.
There's also the cast in livers of Chang and Ang Buckner.
Oh, those are the Siamese.
Bunker.
The Siamese twins, right?
But they're connected by their chests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is the exhibit that called Spit Spreads Death. Yeah. And then there's one called Illustrating Medicine. I just was like, it's disturbing that, you know, these things are like on display for people to see.
Yeah. Because, yeah, when you say like the lady, the wax, the soap lady, I was like thinking, oh, it's just a picture of her. And then you said she's on display. I'm like, whoa, she's on display. It makes me go, whoa.
Right. I wonder, like, what the temperatures are. Like, how do they preserve her body for people to look at on display?
I don't know. That's a great question.
It's weird to me.
But, I mean, if her body, like...
It's disturbing in the way that, like, when I imagine the things of this museum, what I think of is the fourth season of American Horror Story, The Freak Show, where they take them to that museum. And then, like, Ma Petite was, like, in a little jar in that museum. That was horrible.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm laughing.
I know. She's so morbid. She's so gross.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, the soap lady, like, she's preserved. But, I mean, obviously, you got to keep her in some kind of ambient temperature because she can't get too hot.
Right.
She might melt. Or if she gets too cold, she might crack.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think we should stop talking about it.
I think we should, too. But, yeah, that's my disturbing fact, that there's a museum for the disturbed out there, for the medically curious, disturbed individuals. No, it is interesting.
It is.
I can't say I would go, but it's interesting.
I kind of want to go see the soap lady. And I want to see those skeleton bone thingies.
Those are, I guess, one of, like, the permanent displays. There's some that are, like, obviously, like changing.
Just, like, exhibitions.
Yeah.
Or they're just there for a short time. Okay, well, you got to post some pictures.
I will.
Because I was going to look it up while you were talking, but then when I do that, then I don't pay attention.
But yes, it looks weird.
Yeah, it sounds weird.
It looks really weird. All right, Mom, what you got for me today?
Okay, so I needed like a super palate cleanser. I need a palate cleanser after Mary Bell because that just like took it out of me. So yeah. If you haven't listened to that episode, probably maybe should. I don't know. It's pretty terrible. But I did put a little effort and research into it, but it also haunts me in my dreams now. And it's depressed me for like 3 weeks.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's so sad. This is how I felt after Samuel Little.
Yeah. Just took it out of me.
Yeah. It was just so fucking sad.
Yeah. Terrible. So anyway, so what I got for you, what I have for you, what I am presenting to you today.
Woo! Oh God, I just like screamed. I was full red bars on the volume.
Daphne became a woo girl and she hasn't even had any booze.
Yeah! Woo!
You ready for it?
I'm ready. Tell me, what do we have? What are we doing? What are we doing? Mom, I need to know.
The Bermuda Triangle.
Woo!
AKA.
Actually, no woo. I don't want to go through the Bermuda Triangle.
We probably have, actually.
Oh, that's weird.
But yeah, because I'll tell you where it's at. It's the Bermuda Triangle, aka the Devil's Triangle, and it is a region located in the western part of the North Atlantic Ocean between, guess what, 3 points, because it's a triangle.
Yeah, wow.
So Florida, Puerto Rico, and Bermuda.
Okay, but I need to know, is it like an obtuse triangle? Isn't it an acute triangle?
It's pretty acute. I mean, it's not a full acute triangle, but it's pretty. I'll post a map of it.
Okay.
So it is pretty.
I like how you know right off the top of your head.
Because I had to look because, you know, I didn't really care about the shape of it. Isosceles, acute, obtuse.
Isosceles, that's the one I was missing.
But I did look because I wanted, you know, I just wanted to look on the map and see where it was at. Because the description of it confused me by saying the western part of the North Atlantic. So now I get it because the North Atlantic is the upper part of the Atlantic that's in the northern hemisphere of the Earth. And the western part of the Atlantic is towards the United States, right. Puerto Rico, Bermuda, Barbados, that area versus the eastern part of the Atlantic, which would be like the UK and...
Okay.
Yes.
Does yes, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. Because like I said, I was like, wait, what?
Oh, God. So I had to look at Puerto Rico? I love Puerto Rico.
Me too. It was great.
That's a problem.
Yeah. We won't... It's okay. So the area known as the Bermuda Triangle covers about 500,000 square miles of the ocean.
Shit, that's huge.
It's huge. So in this area, ships, planes, and people have mysteriously vanished without a trace and never been found or seen again. This area is thought to have a higher amount of shipwrecks and plane crashes. Common people like you and me would think, oh my God, there's so many. However, according to the U.S. Coast Guard and NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association, there is no evidence to support claims that there are more disappearances in this area than any other area of the ocean.
Okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
Maybe I guess it's because of the proximity, like the how small that specific area is that people are like, oh, it happens here more.
That's what I think. Or I think it's more, maybe more documented, like in that area, because people believe the
conspiracy, if you will.
Yeah. If it is a conspiracy, I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't gone missing there. So.
Well, after I researched it, I'm like, I don't know what I think. I think it's just a mystery. And personally, I'm not going to have a judgment about what it is or isn't.
Okay, well, so, do tell.
Of course, it's one of those things that people want to debunk as a conspiracy theory. And if that's what you want to think, that's fine, whatever. If it's a conspiracy theory, if that's what you think, right. Fine. But like I said, I don't have an opinion because there's too much information and then not enough at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it is pretty indisputable, though, that things have been reported as missing and have never been seen again. So I don't know how you explain that because, you know, most of the time when there's a shipwreck or a plane crash or whatever, they find the wreckage. And I say most of the time because there are times
they
when
didn't
there
find
isn't.
That Malaysian flight.
Right. That's particularly one that came to mind. And there have been a lot, but it's like, I feel like in this area, the concentration of ones that have never been recovered is higher. But again, that's my opinion. That's and it's refuted by the Coast Guard and NOAA. But again, okay. Like I said, you know, it's people think what they think.
Stay out of it, Noah.
Right?
Get a life.
Some of the theories surrounding the missing planes, trains, and automobiles. No, just kidding.
Planes, the missing, trains, and automobiles.
The missing ships, planes, and people are aliens, which I guess, sure, whatever. But I feel like, I don't know, aliens probably have something different to do than
probably
like...
have something like way better to do than be like, we just hover above the Bermuda Triangle and go, that looks like a fun ship to abduct. Look right. at all those, look at that cruise ship of all those people partying on deck. That looks like fun. Let's fuck with all of their minds.
Right. Yeah, I just feel like they're not just hanging out right over the Bermuda Triangle, but that's just, again, my opinion. God,
if I was an alien and I came here, I'd be scared as fuck and turn around and leave. I'd go right the hell back to where I came from. Like, I'm good on that.
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe
that's how I feel when I go to the grocery store.
Yeah, same.
I see things, I'm like, oh, I'm good, I'll leave now.
I gotta go.
Like, no offense if you eat pig feet in a jar, but like when I see the pig feet in a jar, I'm like, okay, I'm good to go now. And then the people... who were just, like, parked their carts in the middle of the aisles. I'm like, okay, yeah, it was really good, like, 5 minutes ago. Now I'm super good. I'm leaving. I actually didn't need anything I came here for. I don't need this laundry detergent. It can wait.
Thank you for your anti-grocery store monologue.
Yes. I hate the grocery store.
Same. That's why there's a click list.
I know. My dad gave us shit the other day. He's like, they don't know that they can just go into the store. I was like, yeah, but then we have to interact with people.
Right.
Gross. Why would we want to do that?
Right.
Okay, sorry.
It's okay. I'm like, are we done now?
Another was me being an alien in a foreign land.
Another like theory about the Bermuda Triangle is the lost continent of Atlantis. It's responsible for the missing because according to some theories, the people of Atlantis, the Atlanteans, were known for collecting crystals and harnessing the energy of the crystals. And these crystals were lost when Atlantis was lost and went to the bottom of the sea, and it causes mechanical malfunctions of boats and planes. However,
was Atlantis real?
That's the thing. The existence of Atlantis has never been proven. So
how did we come up with that one day?
I don't know. That's like you find that. But okay. Yeah, because I was going to, but then I'm like, man, this is about the Bermuda Triangle. But yeah, like it's never been proven that there is a lost city of Atlantis. So.
Okay. You see like movies and books about it, but I was just thinking to myself, like, how do people... I mean, I guess people pull shit out of their ass all the time, right?
Yeah, they do.
It's like, I've always constantly see a pink moose, but nobody believes me. Yeah. But it's always out there.
It's always there. So the more scientific theories about the Bermuda Triangle are rogue waves. Scientists at the University of Southampton in England claim that the water in the Bermuda Triangle is an area where rogue waves can easily occur. And rogue waves are typically twice as tall as the waves that are around them and can reach as high as 100 feet. However, that wouldn't account for planes going missing because, as we've discussed in an earlier episode, planes fly at an altitude of about 35,000 feet. Sorry, not 100, 35,000 feet on average. And, you know, yeah. So I don't know how a rogue wave gets 35,000 feet.
That's a fucking tsunami, fucking scary apocalypse bullshit. Yeah,
that's a tsunami on roids for sure.
Oh my God, that's a tsunami on... It's more than steroids, like on crack. Like roids make you do some like crazy workouts. Crack makes you like whack. Do some crazy shit. Yeah, crack makes you whack. Those waves are on the crack because they go on whack, if that's what we want to believe.
I think that's not what we want to believe.
I think I might like that one the best.
Okay. It is true, however, that the majority of tropical storms and hurricanes pass through the Bermuda Triangle, but that's just because of the location of it, that most hurricanes and tropical storms are coming up through that area of the globe.
Is that where they're being formed?
I don't know. Dude.
You didn't do any research?
Not to any of the questions you're asking.
Tell me more about Atlantis. What do you know about aliens? Wait.
Hurricanes?
Hang on a second. Did you forget your crystal ball again?
Yes.
or
my magic eight ball.
Yeah, your magic eight ball. Shake it. What did we tell her today?
Yes.
So maybe, but probably not.
Another scientific theory is that magnetic forces are... you know, fucking with things because
are magnetizing.
Right. Well, the Bermuda Triangle is one of the places on Earth where True North and Magnetic North line up on a compass. So True North is a fixed point where the lines of longitude converge on a map.
Okay.
So when you see the lines of longitude going, longitude are the ones that go up and down the globe. So like North Pole to South Pole. Cool.
You want
to
know the hack that I learned about remembering which is which?
Well, longitude goes the long way, although the Earth is round, so whatever. What's yours?
Longitude, latitude. Look at the way you open your mouth. Longitude, you open it long, like towards your nose.
Uh-huh.
And latitude, you open it like towards your cheeks.
So it's across.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you could just remember one's horizontal and one's vertical.
Girl, I still have to like hold out my hands for left and right. I'm like, did I put my turn signal on the right way? Did I go the right way? Do you ever have that where you're going through a stoplight and you're like, oh, was that green?
Fuck. I'm on autopilot. Okay, but let's not. Let's still go back to this thing.
Let's do-do-do.
Let's do-do-do. And magnetic north is the direction that the compass needle points to as it aligns with the Earth's magnetic field. And magnetic north is constantly shifting, like not on a daily basis, but like over time. Right. Due to changes in the Earth's magnetic core. So it is not a fixed point like True North.
Okay.
But ship captains and airline pilots know how to account for the shift when they're charting their courses because...
So how often does it shift if it's not every day? Why do they have to know to like log it constantly?
I don't know. But I mean, obviously the magnetic core of the Earth doesn't change on a fucking daily basis.
Is this... This is like how the Aurora Borealis is formed, right?
I don't think that has anything to do with the core of the Earth since it's in the sky atmosphere.
No, I'm talking about the magnetic fields.
Yes, magnetic fields, Aurora Borealis, but totally different magnetic fields. There are magnetic fields everywhere in lots of different places. Like that place we went to in North Dakota, that...
Cosmos.
Cosmos, yeah, it's in a magnetic field. That place is fucking weird, and it'll make you nauseous.
Yeah, I also understand the magnetizing of things, because I'm a magnet for some weird fucking shit.
South Dakota. I said North Dakota, huh? That's South Dakota.
Yep.
Yes. The first written documentation about the Bermuda Triangle dates back to good old Christopher Columbus.
Our favorite guy here.
I know. We love him so much.
Our favorite guy here on That's Disturbing. So, apostrophe, yes.
His first trip to the, quote, New World that he discovered, where there are already fucking people there. So you can't discover something where people already fucking are living.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
That's fair.
So it's anyway, valid. On his, I'm not going to go off on my Chris Columbus tangent because, yeah, I'm just not going to.
Not
going to
go on the wrecker?
I'm not going to do it, but yeah.
Not the record, the wrecker.
Right, I understand. I'm like a take him out. Okay, so anyway, so on his first trip to the, quote, New World, he and his crew reported a great flame of fire that probably was most likely a meteor that crashed into the ocean one night.
Is that like the Alan Jackson song? I fell into a burning ring of fire.
That's not Alan Jackson. That's Johnny Cash.
It is. You're right. Maybe Alan Jackson did a cover of it.
Maybe.
That's what I'm thinking of.
They also reported erratic compass readings. Also, they said that the stars and other lights in the sky appeared to move around. And in another incident, Columbus saw a light that was like a candle moving up and down in the distance, and he called his crew to look at the light, and it disappeared and reappeared several times. They also claimed to have seen a glowing disc-shaped object coming out of the water and shooting towards the sky. So there's your alien theory.
So the aliens went into the water? Maybe that's why they were so confused.
I don't know, but they should have took Christopher Columbus.
They should have abducted your ass.
The first speculated disappearance in the Bermuda Triangle was a man named Joshua Slocum. And I don't know why I said speculated, but anyway. And he was the first documented, maybe. I don't know.
Slocum.
I feel like this isn't going to go with all the shit that I have at the end, but I'm just going to throw it in here and then we'll see if we need to edit it out. Okay, the first speculated Bermuda Triangle disappearance was a man named Joshua Slocum, who was the first person to sail solo around the world. He disappeared in 1909 on an easy trip because he sailed all the way around the fucking world. Right?
That doesn't sound very easy if you ask me.
No, he already went around the world and then he was going on an easy trip where he was just going to go from Martha's Vineyard to South America. And then he just poof, disappeared. But he already went all the way around the world. So yeah, just doing that is an easy trip.
Okay, gotcha. I thought you meant the around the world was an easy trip. I was like, yeah, sure. Huh. I don't know who you're asking, but yeah.
Sure.
Apparently, Mr. Joshua, he thinks that's easy. Some easy shit.
Right.
Okay, Josh. Fuck.
I'm just going from Martha's Vineyard to, I'm going around the world.
And then I'm just going to go from Martha's Vineyard to fucking Brazil.
Yeah. It's fine. It's cool. Apparently, he just had a lot of free time.
Right.
So no one knows exactly what happened to him, but he definitely would have traveled through the Bermuda Triangle on his journey between Martha's Vineyard and South America.
Unless he beelined around into the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, I don't know how you would even go that way. But anyway, I mean, it wouldn't be the most efficient way to go. After going all the way around the whole world, but you might want a shorter trip.
He had GPS there on his boat at that time.
No.
Well, he might have. Maybe that's what happened to him. He's the first one that discovered GPS. And they took him out.
Okay.
They made it a cover-up for a boating accident.
Well, there's no accident because there's no nothing.
Boating disappearance, whatever.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
One of the most infamous tragedies happened in March of 1918. The USS Cyclops, a 542-foot-long Navy cargo ship with 309 men and either 10,000 or 11,000 tons of manganese on board. It depends on where you look, what it said. But I mean, both...
That's a lot. Either way, you shake it.
Yeah, it's a lot. And they were both reputable sources. Like one was the History Channel and the other was the U.S. Naval records documents.
So that one's probably the right one.
Right. But wouldn't the History Channel have their shit together, too? Apparently not. There was a lot of manganese ore on board and it sank somewhere between Barbados and the Chesapeake Bay. The USS Cyclops was on its final mission, transporting 9,960 tons of coal from her home port in Norfolk, Virginia, to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Then it was going to bring back 11,000. We're going to go with 11,000 per the Navy reports.
Right.
11,000 tons of manganese ore. This was the largest loss of life in the naval history as a non-combat situation. So 309 people and they were just
gone. Spoof.
Well, yeah. And they were just moving shit around.
Poof was what I meant to say. Poof. Poof. Into thin air.
Yeah. And they were just moving shit around. They weren't even they weren't in battle. They just were carrying stuff from one place to another.
They were the transportation team.
Yeah. And it was going to be the ship's last thing it was going to do. Like after that, it was going to be retired.
That's sad.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I think it's sad that all the people died.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure sad. I thought you meant that the ship was going to be retired. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't really give a fuck.
Well, I mean, you know, it happens. The ship left Virginia on January 9th, 1918, and got to Rio on January 28th. She docked there for 2 weeks while the ship was unloaded and reloaded with cargo. Then she left Rio on February 15th for Bahia, Brazil. The ship left Bahia on February 22nd, headed for Baltimore, Maryland, with an expected arrival date of March 13th. The last known location of the Cyclops was an unplanned stop in Barbados on March 3rd. And after that, the ship and crew and manganese and everything, poof, gone. Then nothing was ever seen. They weren't heard from again. They never found it. They never found the wreckage. Nothing.
That's so weird.
It's so fucking weird.
Because I imagine a huge boat, although I wonder if the...
540 feet.
Yeah.
That's big.
Well, I can't picture that in my head, but it's a big boat, and that's weird that there's, no evidence of it, because I'm sure at this point today they've done some, what are those things, the
radar, sonar?
Yeah, the depth thing to see what's down there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, they would find it, or find remains of it, if it was there.
Yeah, you would think. But yeah. These things that have disappeared have disappeared.
Is it manganese? Is that what it is?
Manganese.
Manganese?
Mm-hmm.
Is that magnetic?
I don't know if it's magnetic or not. But I do know what it is because I looked it up. But after I finished this last little bit about the...
Okay, you'll get into it. Sorry.
Yeah, just I'm for a brief second because I I'm was just curious. I was always. Just curious as you are. And this I actually did look up because I didn't know you were going to ask me all those other fucking things. Hurricanes and oh my God, come on. We're talking about the Bermuda Triangle here.
Right. What the fuck, Daphne?
Right.
When did you become so fascinated with meteorology?
There was never...
Meteorology? Is that correct for weather?
Yes, weather.
Meteor... Why did I think meteorology was like...
The study of meteors?
Yeah.
No, it's weather.
Weather. Okay, correct. Yeah,
yay,
weather.
Good job, Daphne. Gold star for you today.
Gold star. Woo!
There was never a distress call made from the ship, which it was capable of. Sorry. It's time for Daphne's dog to have her medicine for her seizures. And my phone's in airplane mode, but it doesn't care, apparently.
Well, yeah, it doesn't turn off your alarms when you're in airplane mode.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's druggy time. There was never a distress call made from the ship, which it was capable of. And like I said, the ship has never been found to this day. The Cyclops commander was known to be bad at navigating. He was also known to have bad...
Great.
Bad, right? This is who you want with your fucking
this
ship.
This is who we put in charge. The person who can't navigate.
Right.
What the fuck?
I'm not going to say
anything. If he was the most qualified person, then we really have a problem. And if he was the least qualified person, they were just asking for this.
Well, but maybe they had a navigator and he wasn't. He was just like telling the navigator, no, you're fucking wrong. Go this way. I don't know. But anyway, he wasn't known to be good at navigating. He was also known to have bad mood swings and erratic behavior, which led to low morale under his command. So whether it was bad navigating, a mutinous crew, or the Bermuda Triangle, we'll just never know the truth about that one.
Just never know what the fuck happened there.
We will never know. So on a side note, I was curious about what manganese ore is, and I did not see anything about it being magnetic, but it is used for hardening steel and prevents it from rusting. It's also used in dry cell batteries, many forms of alloys, and it is used in chemical, gas, and electrical industries.
Okay, interesting.
So clearly it's a multifaceted ore.
Yeah, that... A lot of it got lost.
Yeah, 11,000 tons.
Yeah, that's like a lot of elephants.
And like this one, I couldn't find a bunch of information about. But in 1941, two of the Cyclops' sister ships also vanished along the route with no trace. So no wreckage, no nothing.
Ooh.
So that was 1941.
So I feel like it could also be the Cyclops and its family that is doing this. Maybe it's because they named it Cyclops and the aliens were like... Try again.
So Daph's obviously going with the alien theory.
Aliens in the waves.
Alrighty. On December 5th, 1945, and I'm giving you like the most detail about the most notable ones.
Okay.
Because there's a shitload of them. And I'm just going to read them at the end. I'm just going to read all of the, and then if you guys want to dig deeper into them, because there's not a lot of information on a lot of them because they're not quote unquote infamous or they don't have like a big old backstory attached to them. Or a front story or anything. So
no backstory, no front story. All we have is his name.
Right. So December 5th, 1945, five Navy bombers carrying 14 men left Fort Lauderdale, Florida to conduct practice bombing runs over some nearby shoals known as Chicken Rocks. Shoals, also curious about this.
Known as Chicken Rocks?
Yeah, these shoals, this particular area of shoals was known as Chicken Rocks. So shoals are natural submerged ridges, banks, or bars that consist of or are covered by sand or other unconsolidated materials, so loose materials, and shoals rise from the bed of the body of water to near the surface. So that's what a shoal is.
Oh, wait,
it's like
question.
A sandbar.
I have a question for mm-hmm. you. That just like jogged my memory to something different.
Of course it did.
No, the underwater ridge. You know what I'm talking about?
The like the where the fucking megalodon lives?
Yeah, the like mountains under the water that's so freaking deep. Does it run through the Bermuda Triangle? Is it through there? Because I know it has a latitude. It runs along latitude.
I don't know. But these are like coming up to the surface. So I would assume
right,
that this...
Right, but that's what... It just jogged my memory.
I would assume that this area that they were flying over was pretty shallow water. Because it didn't say it was mountainous. It said it was shoals, which are like sandbars, basically.
Okay.
And it kind of irritates me that we just fucking bomb shit to practice.
Yeah.
Because then the shit's just in the ocean. I mean, like, no environmental problems there. But anyway... We're not going to get on
sure.
that.
Sure, there's no environmental issues with
it
that.
It just bothers me.
Just the coral reefs.
So this group of planes was known as Flight 19. The leader was a Navy lieutenant named Charles Carroll Taylor, who had about 2,500 flying hours under his belt. And he mostly flew in planes like this, like the one he was flying that day.
Okay.
The students that he was training with had 300 flying hours between them and also 60 flight hours in the Avenger, which was the bomber that they were practicing in. So there's five planes, right?
Right.
And there's 14 people total. So radio conversations between the pilots were overheard by the base and other aircrafts in the area. The practice bombing was carried out because at about 1,500 hours, a pilot requested and was given permission to drop his last bomb. 40 minutes later, another flight instructor, Lieutenant Robert Cox, who was with his group of students who were going to do the same practice mission, got an unidentified transmission. An unidentified crew member asked Powers, who was one of the students in the Flight 19, right?
Okay.
For his compass reading, and he replied that he was lost. Back and forth transmissions between the crew were heard trying to figure out where they were and help each other get back to Fort Lauderdale.
Ugh.
Taylor, the leader, was heard saying, "Both of my compasses are out and I'm trying to get back to Fort Lauderdale. I'm over land, but it's broken. I'm sure I'm in the Keys, but I don't know how far down and I don't know how to get to Fort Lauderdale." The base advised Taylor to put the sun on the port of his wing, so on the left side of his plane, the port of his wing, and fly north up the coast of Fort Lauderdale. So I'm guessing, like, based on the time of day, the sun's in the west. So if he puts his plane, if he's right, flying north,
he'll put the sun
on his left side, then he'll
be headed north.
He'll be heading north back up to Fort Lauderdale. So then the base asked Taylor if his aircraft was equipped with standard YG, which is a transmitter that can be used to triangulate the plane's position. The message was never acknowledged. Taylor was then told to switch frequencies to the search and rescue frequency, to which Taylor replied, "I can't switch frequencies. I must keep my plane intact," which I'm not sure what switching frequencies has to do with anything, but that's what he said.
Right.
And so another plane was dispatched from the Naval Air Station, Banana River, to search for Flight 19. This flight was also lost with 13 crew members on that flight. And that was the same day that those five planes, 14 people, and now another plane with 13 people, poof, gone.
27 people.
Same day.
Shit.
Yep. So a few months after the planes and the crews went missing, the Navy published a report that said that the flight leader, Taylor, was probably over the Gulf of Mexico and not really over the Florida Keys. So Taylor, trying to have his crew fly west to Fort Lauderdale, were actually flying further out to sea and probably ran out of fuel and crashed into the ocean. However, none of the planes, crew, members of the planes or crews were ever found. So it's another, you know, it's just another story of things being attributed to the disappearances in the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay, so I have a thought about this.
Okay.
So the Cyclops, the two sister ships, all Navy.
Mm-hmm.
These planes, Navy.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think after the Cyclops, they might stop going through this path. They might find a different route.
I don't know. Because nobody thinks it's real, you know?
I feel like 300 people is good enough to say, yeah, we'll change paths.
Yeah, but ships, again, get lost at sea all the time, apparently, according to the U.S. Coast Guard and NOAA.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that it's not.
I guess there was the Sea Orphan case we covered, right?
Yeah.
That boat got lost.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Although that was forced by a piece of shit man.
Yeah, no, that's 100% true. But just saying the boat got lost.
So I'm just going to read you all of the known incidents of things that are related to in the Bermuda Triangle. And this is where I'm not going to like go into detail. I'm just going to give you a list. Yeah, these are the things that are known.
That these people have gone missing or things have happened within the Bermuda Triangle.
Correct.
Okay.
So these ones are at sea. In 1880, the USS Pickering? The USS Pickering, on course from Guadalupe to Delaware, lost 91 people on board, and they say that was probably a gale that they got lost in. So like a storm, gale force winds, flipped over the boat, blah, blah, blah.
It's probably a gale. They're probably not wrong. If you've ever met a gale, they like to kill.
But it was in the Bermuda Triangle. In 1814, the USS Wasp, last known position was the Caribbean, was lost with 140 people on board. And again, this was attributed to being lost in a storm. Ship was never recovered. People were never found.
Well, of course, they're not going to attribute these things to... We went through the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
They're not going to say that. They're going to, like, put some other cause on it. And they feel like they also can't be like, oh, it was the aliens. They're at it again.
You or know? Those Atlanteans.
Right. They can't do that. That's not a legit thing that they can just say.
Yeah, they just don't know.
I mean, there is a lot of bullshit that people just say to say, but that's a... We're not going to A, dive into that, and B, they have to have a legitimate excuse.
Yeah. For sure. In 1824, the USS Wildcat, on course from Cuba to Tompkins Island, was lost with 14 people on board, lost in a gale. Wait. Yeah, this one says, it says two different things. It says there were 14 people and then it says there were 31 people. So there were some people that were lost.
There were more than 10, less than 50.
Yes.
Less than 40.
Yes. Less than 32.
Less than 32. More than 13.
So that was in 1824. 1840, the Rosalie was found abandoned. So just no people on this ship.
Okay, so they found it, though.
They found the ship, but nobody was on it. And there were supposed to be a bunch of people on it.
Was there any evidence of life?
No.
Was it, like, cleared out, like, all the food, 100% of everything?
No, it was just, like, they were there and then they weren't. Like, they ran to the store, but they were on a ship in the Bermuda Triangle.
So like, they all just jumped off the board, and, like, there's no running to the store, yeah, because they're in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
But there were, like, signs of life on there at one point.
Yes.
So they found, like, the correct boat.
They did find the correct boat.
Okay.
So in 1881, according to legend, a sailing ship, the Ellen Austin, found a derelict vessel and placed a crew to sail the vessel to port. Two versions of what happened to the vessel are, the first one is that the vessel was either lost in a storm or it was found again with the crew. Lawrence David Coucher, an author of The Bermuda Triangle Mystery Solved, found no mention in 1880 or 1881 where newspapers alleged this incident. He did trace the legend of the book by Rupert Gould, The Stargazer Talks, published in 1943. The Ellen Austin did exist. A check from Lloyd's of London's records proved that the existence of the Meta, built in 1854, and that in 1880, the Meta was renamed the Ellen Austin. There are no casualty listings for the vessel or any vessel at that time that would suggest a large number of missing men were placed on board the derelict boat and later disappeared, although one website includes the alleged derelict vessel incident, and it does find that Rupert Gould talked about the legend on the radio in the 1930s. Likewise, the website traces the derelict story to June 1906 newspaper, which claims that the derelict ship incident took place in 1891. However, the 1906 story does not give a reference of where the story came from and the press. So, you know, they just say whatever they want. So who knows? So that one was maybe true, maybe not true.
Who knows?
Right. In 1918, the USS Cyclops was lost with all of the passengers, with all the crew and the manganese ore. That's the one we already talked about. In 1921, January 31st, Carol A. Deering, five-masted schooner. Say that. It's one time Fuck. Slow.
That sounds complicated to speak. I can't even speak half the time. That sounds real freaking complicated
so
to say.
A five-masted schooner, so that means it has five masts. Captain W.B. Wormel found aground and abandoned at the Diamond Shoals near Cape Herradus in North Carolina. Or Herradus, I don't know. December 1st, 1925, the SS Cotopaxi, having departed Charleston, South Carolina, 2 days earlier, bound for Havana, Cuba, radioed a distress call reporting that that the ship was sinking. She was officially listed as overdue on December 31st. In 1985, an unknown shipwreck was found off St. Augustine, Florida. In 2020, it was identified as the remains of the SS Cotopaxi. So they found that one.
They did find that one.
So,
oh, wait, question. It's outside of Florida, too?
Yeah. Did you not hear me in the beginning? It's from Florida to Bermuda to Puerto Rico.
I did. I caught that. I just didn't know how far up it went to St. Augustine.
Well, that's where the wreckage was found. So maybe it just went that way. I don't know.
That's really far north.
It is pretty far north. I'll show you the map.
Okay. Please do.
And then in 1941, the USS Proteus, which we talked about, and the USS Nereus were lost with... Proteus was lost with 58... people on board in heavy seas, having departed St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands with a cargo of bauxite on November 23rd.
The Cyclops' sister ships.
Yes.
Oh, okay, because you didn't say the names of them before.
I didn't before, sorry. The following month, her sister ship, the USS Nereus, was lost with 61 people on board, also having departed St. Thomas with cargo of bauxite. It's B-A-U-X-I-T-E. On December 10th, according to research by Rear Admiral George Vanders from the U.S. Navy, who is familiar with this type of ship from his service in the Navy, acidic coal cargo would seriously erode the longitudinal support beams, making these aging and poorly constructed colliers extremely vulnerable to breaking up in heavy seas. And those were the sister ships of the Cyclops. In 1958, Renovec, a 43-foot racing yawl. It's a yawl. Was lost with owner Harvey Conover and four others aboard between Key West and Miami in a hurricane. The only trace found was the Revenix 14-foot skiff near Jupiter, Florida. In 1963, the SS Marine Sulphur Queen lost with 39...
the Sulphur Queen?
Sulphur Queen. Lost with 39 crewmen having departed Beaumont, Texas on February 2nd with a cargo of 15,260 tons of, guess what?
Manganese.
No, sulfur.
Sulfur. Oh, fuck.
The Sulfur Queen.
That seemed too obvious.
She was that last.
Seemed way, way, way too obvious.
Well, sometimes the obvious is just what it is.
Fuck. That sucks.
She was
annoying.
She was last heard from on February 4th when she was in a rough, nearly following seas of 16 feet waves and northerly winds of 25 to 46 knots, which I don't know what that means, but apparently it's real windy, enlisted as missing 2 days later. And the U.S. Coast Guard subsequently determined that the ship was unsafe and not seaworthy and should never have gone out in the first place. And the final report suggested four causes of the disaster were due to poor design, maintenance of the ship, and the storm, and the waves, and the wind. So,
all bad factors involved right? with this disappearance.
In 1967, December 22nd, Miami hotel owner and yachtsman Dan Burke set out on his cabin cruiser, the Witchcraft, with a priest. Ooh, you have a priest with you. You should have been safe.
I feel like I'm kind of noticing a pattern here. It's like winter months, Northern Hemisphere winter months.
So, hurricane season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan. You didn't look into if they formed in that area.
But they're in that area. And yeah. Okay. So anyway, he had a priest. Yes. Named Patrick Hogan. Horgan. The ship was taken 1 mile off the Miami coastline so that Burke and Hogan could view the Christmas lights visible from the shore. That night, Burke radioed a distress call to the Coast Guard, informing them that the boat's propeller had struck something underwater and that the vessel would need to be towed in. The Coast Guard requested that he set up a flare roughly 20 minutes so that the boat could be more easily located. The official who received the call reportedly later noted that Burke did not seem too concerned about the Witchcraft, a boat that Burke had fitted with a special flotation device on its hull. When the Coast Guard arrived at the location where Burke had called from, he and Horgan and the Witchcraft were nowhere to be found. Over the following days, a search was conducted over hundreds of square miles of ocean, but the boat and its passengers were never found.
Alrighty. That's not cool.
Oh, here's summer. Here's summer.
Oh, wow.
Okay. In late July of 2015, two 14-year-old boys, Austin Stefanos and Perry Cohen, went fishing in their 19-foot boat. They have 14 and they have their own boat. Nice.
I know, right? I was just thinking that. What year was this?
In 2015.
Oh, fuck.
Right?
I totally missed that. I'm thinking it's like the fucking 50s.
No, 15. Despite the 15,000 square nautical mile wide search by the Coast Guard, the pair's boat was never found. And a year later, off the coast of Bermuda, the boat was found, but the boys were never seen again.
Fucking trippy.
Yeah. 2015, but this is October 1st, the SS El Faro, with a crew of 33 people on board, sank off the coast of the Bahamas within the triangle after sailing into Hurricane Joaquin. So I guess there was a hurricane. Search crews identified the vessel 15,000 feet below the surface. So I guess they found that one too. And that was definitely probably a hurricane. But still. That was
definitely probably.
Definitely probably most likely. And okay, so these are aircraft incidents. 1945, December 5th, flight 19, lost with 14 airmen and the five planes. And later that same day, another plane lost with 13 airmen that were searching for flight 19. July 3rd, 1947, a Douglas C-54 crashed off the Florida coast after the pilot lost control in turbulence. 1948, January 30th, Avro Tundor GNA on the Star Tiger. Sorry.
That's another good name, the Star Tiger.
Mm-hmm, I like it. Lost with six crew and 27 passengers en route from the Santa Maria Airport in the Azores to Kindley Field, Bermuda. 1948, December 28th, Douglas DC. It's a kind of plane. So it's a Douglas DC-3 NC-16002. Lost with three crew and 36 passengers en route to San Juan, Puerto Rico from Miami, Florida. From San Juan, Puerto Rico to Miami, Florida. My bad. In 1949. I was
picking up what you were putting down.
1949. So all the ones that I'm saying that aren't found, aren't found.
Right.
They Unless I said found. It's found, it's not found.
Yeah, okay. I was picking up that as well.
Okay, I'm just clarifying.
I was catching that.
Just clarifying. In 1949, January 17th, another Avro Tudor G-A-G-R-E, named the Star Ariel, was lost with seven crew and 13 passengers en route from the Kindley Field, Bermuda to Kingston Airport in Jamaica. June 9th, 1965, a U.S. Air Force C-119 flying boxcar of the 440th Troop Carrier Wing was missing between Florida and Grand Turk Island. The last call from the plane came from a point just north of the Crooked Island, Bahamas, and 177 miles from Grand Turk Island. On July 18th, 1965, debris from the plane was found on the beach of Gold Rock Cay, just off the northeast shore of the Acklands Island. 1965, December 6th, Private ERCO Europo.
I don't know. I can't see it. F-01. I like your attempts. I like how we say things like a million times, sometimes in the same way, sometimes in different ways, and just hope we're doing it right. If we say it every single which way that we possibly think we could say it, one of those has to be right, right?
There you go. That's the theory.
It's a theory anyway, yeah?
Yeah. So this plane was lost with the pilot and just one passenger en route from Fort Lauderdale to Grand Bahamas Island. June 20th, 2005, a Piper PA-23 disappeared between Treasure Cay Island, Bahamas, and Fort Pierce, Florida. There were three people on board. February 23rd, 2017, a Turkish airline flight TK-183, an Airbus A330-200 was forced to change its direction from Havana, Cuba to Washington Dulles Airport after some mechanical and electrical problems occurred over the triangle.
Okay, that's scary.
Yeah, but it made it. So May 15th, 2017, a private MU SR-2B aircraft was at 24,000 feet when it vanished from radar and radio contact with an air traffic controller in Miami, and the plane wreckage was found later.
Okay.
Okay. And then incidents on land, and there's only one. In August of 1969, the Great Isaac Lighthouse in Bimini, Bahamas, during a hurricane, two lighthouse keepers disappeared, were never found again. So that's it.
I guess it can happen on land.
Yeah. Well, because the lighthouse is out.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the Bermuda Triangle for you.
I have another theory I'd like to propose.
Okay.
So you know how you talked about that spinning black hole in space?
The Aurora Borealis?
No, the spinning black hole in space. Not today. You did it as one of your disturbing facts.
Oh, no, it was black holes in the ocean. Eddies.
Oh, what if it's one of these?
Yeah, maybe.
But I feel like we talked about one in space, didn't we? Also, well,
I just likened it to a black hole. But the thing with the eddies, because I was thinking about that too, but the thing with the eddies is that things go in there and they never get out.
Right.
Yeah, but what if, wouldn't they be found?
If they never get out, no.
Oh, because you'd have to go into the eddy to get it.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, and it's a 500,000 square foot eddy?
Yeah.
That's frightening. I feel like they would know that by now, though.
I feel like, okay, so the eddy, right? What if they're not 500,000 square feet? What if they're just,
or
like,
miles, 500,000 square miles.
500,000 square miles. Let's just say that kind of sounds small.
kinda.
For, like, the area we're thinking of, right? What if they, like, move, right? They're not just fixed positions because they're in water. Water moves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what if they're, like, circulating throughout the triangle or even, like, exiting the triangle and coming back into the triangle?
Can circles move in triangles?
I don't know. I feel like they can.
Okay.
A triangle can't move in a circle, but a circle can move in a triangle.
Can a tiny triangle move in a giant circle?
Tiny triangle, no.
Okay. How do you know? All right, well, let's not do that.
Look at the circle and then points. They don't move. But if you put a circle inside of a triangle, it can spin because it's round.
But if it's a tiny triangle?
No. It's stuck.
Okay.
Because circles roll.
So I hope that was not boring.
It wasn't. It was interesting.
Okay.
I
was honestly...
I like the black hole eddy theory with the aliens. I like in the tall waves. I don't like the hurricane theories because those cause mass destruction.
Well, and that's just a hurricane. But the ones that were attributed to hurricanes were clearly attributed to hurricanes. It's just the ones that you don't know what happened that it's like. And it just adds to the mystery and mystique of the Bermuda Triangle. And honestly, I was hoping to find a lot more scary, freaky stuff. But
I think you did a good job finding stuff, though.
Thanks.
I feel like people put bad things out there that aren't necessarily backed up by anything.
Well, I think that's what I probably always have heard is like a bunch of shit that's not really true. And so when I'm like doing my actual research, I don't find any of that stuff. Like I was hoping for like ghost ships and
I was surprised
just random shit that
you didn't bring the Amelia Earhart theory in here.
It wasn't in anything about the Bermuda Triangle because Amelia Earhart was lost like in New Guinea, not in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, but have you ever heard that theory?
Nope. And it wasn't in any of the Bermuda Triangle theory and theories debunked, mystery, History Channel, none of it.
Oh.
No Amelia Earhart, who I loved, who I wanted to be when I grew up when I was a little girl.
You wanted to get lost in the plane?
No, but I wanted to be a pilot and just fly around the world by myself.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
That would be cool as long as you're a decent navigator.
Well, I wasn't known to be a good navigator, but I set out anyway.
Or I just took a quick trip around the world. It's so easy. It's just a piece of cake.
Right? No biggie. It's whatever.
No, I liked it. Thank you.
So anyway, that's why I was going back to that whole thing where it said that the first known disappearance was in 1909. But then you go back and it's like, well, in 1880, this happened. And in 1824, this happened. And so, yeah, 1909 is not really the first one.
No, it's not really. But that's okay.
But that's what you get for. But that came, I think, from the History Channel website. It actually did come from the History Channel website.
Clearly, perhaps the History Channel isn't the most accurate, considering you went through the Navy archives and found two different numbers from that to the History Channel.
Yeah, that's fair. History Channel, we still love you.
We love you so much.
The History Foods That Channel. Made America Great. That's like my favorite show on the, or The Foods That Made America. That's my favorite show on the History Channel. It's fucking cool and sinister.
Sinister?
Yeah, you like think that it's no big deal. It's like, oh yeah, let's Coke and Pepsi wars. Oh no, it's violent shit.
It is violent shit.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome. Okay, Daphne.
Okay. All right. That's it.
All right. Follow us on the gram at That's Disturbing Podcast.
She's singing again.
I always like to sing.
She's tired.
Send us a Gmail. That's Disturbing Podcast @gmail.com. I don't know what you want to say in the Gmail. Just say hi.
What's up, girls?
Just say sup, players, with your shoddies that aren't so shot, because this is all supposed to be a shoddy and it's a longy.
Maybe not by the time I edit it down.
Maybe not. And please, I'm about ready to delete the website.
Well, when is...
I'm being disappointed. It renews in November. It renews next month. I'm losing my faith in people sending me a case request form.
Okay, well, if no one sends us one by November, then we're going to get rid of it because it costs too much money to keep it up for nothing.
Yeah, it do. Yeah, it do.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Oh, but I didn't even say the website. That's disturbingpodcast.com.
Oh, well, maybe that's the problem. Although we've said it in every single other episode, so.
Right.
There's that.
All right. Well,
maybe we should put it on the gram. Maybe we should, when we do our post of the stuff, we should say, send us a case request.
Maybe we should and then link it.
Yeah.
Or have the URL.
Yeah. That would be the link.
Yeah. But I don't know if we can hyperlink shit on Instagram.
Oh, well, we could put the URL.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing this case, Mama. It was fun.
Sure.
Or not fun, but... What do you call that?
I don't know.
Disturbing?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be cooler than it was, but I was already in it.
I think it's still cool.
Okay.
I think it's still interesting.
Okay.
It's like an anomaly that turned out to not be an anomaly.
Probably most likely not.
Yeah.
And I said I don't have a theory, but I'm with you on the hurricane thing.
What? That maybe they developed there and there's maybe, an eddy but I mean under that the hurricane?
Most of these disappearances are happening in the winter. But how does that affect a plane?
Right.
So, okay. Well, maybe. I don't know. There I am back to like, I don't fucking know.
Right. Yeah. Same. Aliens.
Hence a mystery.
But again, why would aliens want to come here? So, yeah.
And why would they be fucking with the Bermuda Triangle?
Because they're hovering above it.
Something to do.
Yeah. They're bored.
Right.
They're bored. That's like me when I hover above my dogs because I'm bored.
Sounds fair.
All right. Boo-boo.